The show is about to start.
Reese on the radio.
Turn it up. Turn it up loud.
Turn it up loud.
Like a dream come true.
Turn on your radio. Reese is on the radio.
Yo, let's get it.
Due to the nature of this program, discretion does not exist.
It's Reese on the radio. Right now on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's a happy, happy hump day. Trying to get my death metal voice on.
What's going on, all you scallywags and nutmeggers out there? You know what time it is. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080. It's Wednesday. The days get closer and closer, and I am not... I'll put it this way. I'm enthusiastic about getting there. I'm already at the destination. I tell people all the time, the biggest problem we have as a society is that we pay more attention to the destination than we do the journey. Just wanting to get there or wanting answers. We want the answer. We forget about the journey. And I'm doing that already because my wife has come up with some plans like how we're supposed to drive to Connecticut. And I got to be honest with you. I'm scared to death of her plans. Why? Not because of her. Not because of her. But because, you know the saying, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. And I know it's not going to go the way I want to. I wanted to leave Saturday morning. My wife, no, let's leave Friday night. After I finish doing the show. After we finish packing the last of the house. She wants to leave right after the show. Forthwith, let's go. Me, on the other hand, can I just take a break? Get a good night's sleep? We get out really, really early, a couple of hours before daybreak? No. Wife wants to get on the road now. She can't wait to get there. She's excited. She's more excited than me. She's only been there. How many times you been there now, honey? Twice? Just twice. She can't wait to get back. But that's cool. I totally appreciate it. Her enthusiasm. All I want to do is make it great for her. Because I'm going to make it great for myself. I know how to do that. I can take a boring evening and make it magical. My wife, on the other hand, I've got to drag her to every place and every event. And so, just want to say that I'm looking forward to it, but not so much the drive. We got the trailer halfway loaded. Wife's cleaning the house, making it ready for the tenant. It's going to be amazing. Programming note. Got to make sure I tell everybody this. So all of you who watch the show online, Thursday, tomorrow, will be the last edition of the show online indefinitely. I shouldn't even say that. That's wrong. I apologize. It's not indefinite. I apologize. That was the wrong word. Periodically, for temporary time. Joey is going to help me. He's already got a whole idea set up, but I'm probably going to need a couple of days on Tuesday, like after Tuesday next week, for us to actually work out all of the kinks so we can get the online show on and popping. Joey's excited. I'm excited. I'm wondering what he's got in store. Can't wait to do it, but we're going to bring the same element. The chat room's going to be available, you know, and all of your comments in the chat room. For those of you who wish to watch, we're going to still make it available for you. There probably won't be that much of a video element, but there will be some audio sound bites as usual, like every other show. We're no different than that. So I don't want to say it'll be Reese on the radio condensed a little bit. Unless, of course, Joey's got like this grand plan, which I'm still excited for that. I just got word that we got an event coming up. Roland, I hope that you're going to go with me on this event on the 22nd. I hope you're slated to do that with me. I don't want to do it alone. You know, I want you out there with me. We'll talk about that. Now, I got to say this before I get into the opening monologue. For those of you who follow the show on X and on Facebook, you know that I got an exclusive interview yesterday. And it wasn't really an interview in the sense of I was trying to speak to the individual behind the scenes. I actually wanted this person on the air. I wanted to talk to him on the air. And his name is John Lugo. And he is with a group called Unidad Latina. And I had reached out to him yesterday. Am I pronouncing it poorly?
Unidad
Latina
Acción.
Say it one more time so I can get it right.
Unidad Latina Acción.
Don't say it too fast. Come on. What are you talking about?
Unidad
Latina
Acción.
Okay, that's the group he's with. So Lugo's group yesterday, you could find this everywhere, at about 5 p.m., went down to the Hamden Police Department. And it was covered by a couple of news outlets. Public radio covered it. It was covered in a way that seemed odd to me. Because I'm saying to myself, why would they be protesting the police department? And why does the headline say, immigrant advocates seek transparency, support from Hamden officials after car wash raid? So I get the story forwarded to me from City Hall Adam. And he said, man, it would be great to get this John Lugos on your show. So I said, you know what? Let's do it. I look him up. I get his assistant or somebody. He calls me about 8 o'clock at night. We're watching television. As you all know, we watch The Five and Jesse on our DVR. What were we in the middle of, Jesse or The Five when he called? It must have been The Five. And sure enough, he calls up. I missed the call. I call him back. He misses my call. I try one more time, and I send him a text. Then he calls me. Finally, we get on the phone with each other, and I go, hello, John. And he has got the thickest accent I've ever seen or heard in my entire life. And he starts talking to me about what happened. Hey, why were you guys down at the Hamden Police Department for this protest? And he starts going on about why he was there. And I was prompted to record it. But for legal reasons and because he did not know that I would be airing said audio, I cannot do it without his permission. Now, I know all the legal. I don't have to call the legal department at WTIC or at Odyssey. I know this. I do this every day. And I've done it for over 24 years. I know exactly what the rules are before they even tell me. However, I can and I will transcribe them for you. In the midst of our conversation, Mr. Lugo said something that caught my wife and I by surprise. He used the word leak. Leak? And I immediately hit the record button on my phone, and I say to Mr. Lugo, hey, I'm recording this call, to which a recording then says, this call is now being recorded. So he is aware that this is being recorded. Now, that's the legal action. So now he knows he's being alerted. I told him, and there was an electronic recording that told him he was being recorded. So legally, I am within my rights. He never stopped talking. We talked, ladies and gentlemen, for 18 minutes at the start of this recording. We had already been talking for at least 3. And he gave it all up. This is him, not me. He says, they let us know when they're going to hold an operation, but this person didn't release the information right away. I ask him, does the Hamden Police Department have an agreement with the community to let them know? He goes, no, they don't have an agreement. But outside of Connecticut, we highlight the welcoming ordinance of New London that casted back in April of this year, where they were going to make the city welcoming, a welcoming city for migrants. So even though they were like, you know, an agreement between the city and between the police department, the migrant community, but there's an understanding that we will be protecting the migrant community. So we're not asking them to go confront the federal agents. We just feel that they had information, that they disclosed the information, and they leak the information to the community to avoid the raid and people being detained and, you know, being assaulted or kidnapped. So I asked, whoa, are you saying that the police department informs the community activists of the raids? And he says, no, but they usually leak it so that we can know. And I said, and why do they leak it? He said, so that we can hide them. That's what was said. That is on the recording. And if anybody from the police department and anybody from Department of Homeland Security or anybody at ICE or anybody else who wants this audio, I'd be happy to give it to them. I am within my legal right to possess this. As I said, I made it clear that we were being recorded verbally and the audio recording, saying this is being recorded. He did not contest. He did not stop the conversation. He knew what I asked him. He knew what I was asking him. He did not know my intent because I never told him that I wanted to know this information because I am outraged at the fact that somebody in public office or anyone who is in the police department or anyone who might be of some authority in the New Haven area was leaking the information about ICE raids to community activists who then aid and abet illegals in hiding from them. That wasn't the worst part, folks. We went on in this conversation and asked more questions about who else gets alerted to ICE raids. And according to Mr. Lugo, the mayor's office is also called. And Lugo went on to tell me, again, recorded. Knowledge of the recording, that someone from that office will leak it as well, so that people can avoid ICE raids. That's what's happening. So I know there's some people out there who are saying, well, we know that, you know, Los Angeles has got this, you know, text message alert that goes out to everyone. That's fine. If that ends up being, you know, if there's some violent confrontations with ICE agents with the community because of that, I'm sure those individuals will deal with the legal consequences of said action. Maybe the federal government will find a way to put the kibosh on that. But what's happening here, this is something else. A lot of people who, and this is the other part, a lot of people know what's going on. A lot of people know that these individuals are being told what's happening. And those people, of course, they rally up the troops. They go to all of the locations where the illegals are. They tell them to hide, which, by the way, Justin Ellicker, this nonsense about not knowing who they are and where they are, that's dead now. That's dead. I asked the question of whether or not these folks are illegal and if they know who they are. And sure enough, these NGOs do. They all know who they are. They all know where they're working. They know exactly the spots to locate those individuals and tell them to run. Yesterday, we talked about the Optimo car wash in Hamden, where two of the individuals were released. I was talking about it in headlines. Lugo also informs me that the reason why the two individuals were released was not because they were American citizens. This one will blow your mind. because the two individuals who were picked up are currently in the process of getting their citizenship. Go figure. Go figure. Which gives me the impression, okay, why were they picked up? Did they not have their paperwork on them? That's quite possible. But they weren't there. They weren't detained for too long. People were able to find out who they were and if they were, again, seeking an immigration status, a legal immigration status that was easy to find, and they were out in less than a week. So that part we know. But all this other stuff that's coming from Rosa DeLauro and Justin Ellicker and John Larson and all that stuff, screaming and hollering about how this is the SS, we now know from the activist groups that ICE is informing the police department of their actions. And for obvious reasons, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they contact the local police and say, hey, we're conducting a raid at the Optimo on such and such avenue? I'm sorry, I don't know which one. There were 14 locations near you. But why would they alert the police? Because if there's a patrolman who sees an unmarked vehicle rolling up, they're not alerted to thinking it's some sort of heist or some nefarious actions by like bank robbers or something along those lines. Everybody's on the same page. Law enforcement working with law enforcement, well abreast of what's happening. But now we know, according to this activist group, that they're leaking it to the activist groups. We also talked to Mr. Lugo about Victor Velasquez. You know the one. The guy who owns the 18 Optimo car washes. I asked him whether or not he's ever met Victor. Mr. Lugo says yes. What's your take on Victor Velasquez and his hiring of illegals? He doesn't wish to talk to us, Lugo said. He doesn't want to get involved. I've talked to a couple of people. We've looked at a couple of the locations as it goes with Optimo. I don't want to put any dirt out there. I don't want to say anything, but I'm just going to say perhaps somebody should look into this. Something's going on. And if it's not just simple tax, if it is simple tax evasion, fine. But I think something else might be going on here. There might be something else going on. 18 locations, none of them listed with the Better Business Bureau. Just seem to be LLCs. We've got several locations where people have been picked up and are illegal at those locations. ICE seems to know that they're there. Before we go to break, Lugo also said to me, which I thought was very interesting, he tried to suggest that the ICE agents have no idea who they're picking up. They're just rounding up brown people. I challenged him on that. I'll tell you how that turned out when we return. Stand by. More news, more views, and more on this topic when we return. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Fan of WTIC? Then do us a favor. Download the free Odyssey app and favorite WTIC.
I have so much stuff that I have to do behind the scenes. So if you're just joining us, I was having a conversation last night with one of the political action groups that are trying to protect illegals in the state. And these people are well connected. You'll see them with all the politicians and all of the rallies, screaming and hollering, calling the ICE agents, Nazis, SS soldiers, and the like, screaming about kidnapping, as Mr. Lugo did here, with his group. I'm gonna forget their name. I know I am. All right. I'm just gonna forget their name. It's difficult for me to pronounce. Okay. I'm sorry. My wife is gonna be mad at me. Says, can you at least try? I'm trying. I am trying. Unidad. Right? Unidad Latina. So, in this conversation as it's going on. And I'm worried that he's going to be reluctant, that I may be asking too many questions. But I got to tell you, folks, in Connecticut, these people are fearless. There is no pushback. To them, they are sitting in their own private Idaho, and everybody agrees with the left here. And what's happening here is, it's like Connecticut against Washington. And he was just free-flowing with information. He talks about how these people were assaulted because they were put down to the floor. He said they called the dispatcher and they announced it. This is when he's talking about the phone call. They called the dispatcher and they announce it. And the dispatcher decides to hold the information. And then he said, you know, he just released the information after the raid happened. And that's why they were upset, was because they got the information that the ICE raid was coming, but they held on to the information, which is why they went down to the police department to hold the protest. Now, it's under the rouge. It's under the idea, as the headline suggests, immigrant advocates seek transparency, support from Hamden officials after car wash raid. What do you mean transparency? What are you talking about? You mean you want an alert system coming from the powers that be to assist you in hiding illegals. That's what it is. There's no other way to put it. And this is the guy. You go there to that NPR article, which was posted. Who wrote it? Daniela Donsel wrote it. That's the guy sitting in a picture with the microphone, standing there with the very ambiguous man purse. I don't know. That's what his thing looks like. It looks native in some way. Like maybe it was handmade in some way. Anyway, nonetheless, he looks like the lead singer of the Gypsy Kings. But that's John Lugo. That's what he told me. Is that why didn't they tell us? They should tell us so we can go and hide them. And that's not their role. But according to this gentleman, that's what they're doing. So I think that someone should get to the bottom of it. I think that someone should be made to answer for this. Now, they'll deny it, but I don't care. I've got it on tape. You can admonish this group. But again, this is the part, and I think this is very important. There has to be a thorough investigation. Because we know that ICE agents are in danger. That's a fact. We know that people have been agitated enough to confront ICE agents in a physical way. We know that people are willing to fire weapons on ICE agents. That's undeniable. But now, if it's true, and according to Mr. John Lugo, it is, that officials in New Haven are releasing information or leaking it, as John puts it, leaking it to these organizations to alert them of ICE raids, because ICE is telling the police department what time they're going to be there. And again, with that information, it becomes reckless after the fact. And I want you to think about this on this scale, because a lot of people on the left going, well, they just don't want to get caught. So I want you to take into consideration Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, or just outside of Chicago. I want you to take into consideration all those things. And then let me tell you a story. You can pretend you haven't seen the violence in those three places, but I want to tell you a story. I'm working at my first radio gig, Hot 97, in New York. And I so badly had this comedy event that I wanted people to go to. But it wasn't sanctioned. It was not sanctioned by the station. But I thought that the station should have supported me. But in order to do that, I'd have to pay for advertising dollars. And I'm just some schmo who's getting paid $125 a week. But I was going to find a way to sneak it in. And I was chastised. And here's why. Imagine you tell someone, without the backing of the station, to be somewhere. And they go. And a riot breaks out. And someone is fatally injured. That's on you. Whatever happens is on you. You told them to be there. And it was not sanctioned by the station. It wasn't sanctioned by the higher ups. You just told everybody, yeah, go on down. There's no legal liability that you can withstand. And the station damn sure ain't going to pay for it, especially if you've done it without their permission. That's over. Now think about that. You have an official organization finding out information about federal agents coming into a town, going into an establishment to go find out if there are illegals there. Again, with the backdrop of Illinois, Portland, and Los Angeles. And the violence that has erupted there. And now you, as a public official, are alerting people, they're coming! The feds are coming! And then they are releasing that information to their friends. They're releasing it to the illegals and supporters of the illegals. And then you've got one, maybe two, maybe 10 bozos. We're going to confront them when they arrive. And all hell breaks loose. Then what? Is no one going to be held accountable? Imagine those individuals didn't have the luxury of what I'm telling them right now, of what I'm reporting right now. What would happen? Imagine that information had been leaked at the Optimal Car Wash, and it had gotten into the hands of the wrong individual, gang members, cartel members, traffickers, drug traffickers, had gotten into their, I don't know, onto their phones, into their ear. Somebody had been whispering around. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, federal agents go there to go pick up illegals, and they're ambushed. What then? Wouldn't the question be, how did they know? The obvious would be there. The only people we told was the police department. The only person we told was the chief of police. The only person we told was the mayor. Then what? So this is not an opportunity to say, gotcha. Ooh, look at the scandal I've uncovered. This is reckless. I don't give a damn what you think about illegal individuals in the state. I don't care. They shouldn't be here. I stand firm on that. On both my 2 feet, I stand firm. And a lot of people in the state feel the same way. They don't belong here. And what makes this situation even more dangerous is what we learned last night. Because there are no people. You can scream and holler, kidnapping, kidnapping, kidnapping. But my counter to that is violence and shooting and rocks throwing and attacks on ICE agents. The only people in real bodily harm and danger are ICE agents. The only thing these illegals have to deal with is going back home and starting anew. As far as coming back into this country illegally. And if you were to ask me to counter the both, to look at both of this and say, which is more important? Which stands paramount? The safety of the officers. The safety of those officers. They're doing their job. Men, women, fathers, daughters. husbands, wives. All of them. That's what they're doing, their job. These folks, they broke the law. And if they have to run and hide, they don't belong here. If they're living in the shadows, they don't belong here. Do you know who else lives in the shadows? Drug dealers and criminals. They live in the shadows. Those are the only type of people who live in the shadows. I'm not going to have empathy for people who have to live in the shadows. They don't have to. They can come out into the light. They can find their way to get legal status in this country. But we shouldn't have the police department or the mayor's office or anybody else for that matter bending over backwards to protect those illegals while putting officers' lives in harm's way. This right here is a bridge too far. And whoever's in authority, whoever is somebody who does the checks and balances around here, because it's quite obvious that the locals ain't doing it, needs to get on it. Get to the bottom of it. Because someone's going to end up dead. And Connecticut doesn't want to be in the headlines that way. It's a quiet state. Even though we got a loudmouth AG and a blabbermouth junior senator. We don't need all that heat. Nobody needs all that. And Connecticut doesn't want to be known as the place that caused the lives of ICE agents to be endangered. Nobody wants that. Neither do you, Lamont. So as I always say on this show, get on it. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
It's Reese on the Radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Sorry, I was busy looking at stuff over here. I got a little overwhelmed. Let's go to the phones real quick. Dave is in Northfield. Hello, David.
Hello. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What's up?
It's just, this whole mess is just confuses the hell out of me. I'm 66 years old.
Okay.
And from what I'm seeing is, a lot of these people that are rounded up are pretty much minions for the cartels.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, they're the ones distributing all this junk, and the politicians are essentially working for the cartels.
You know, it's funny that you put it that way, because I don't think there's a better way to establish what's going on. And what I mean by that is, when you have somebody like Justin Ellicker come on the program last year, so it'd be a year now, next month, that he's been on. And when you ask him about the individuals that he is, in essence, sworn to protect, and I ask him, who are these individuals? Can you tell us who they are and where they're from? And his response to that is, we don't ask and we don't tell. Which obviously means he does, that was his answer. Which essentially means, we don't ask, we don't tell, so whatever the circumstances are that led them to come to New Haven, he's not asked and he's not interested in asking. And what have we learned every week in some of the local newspapers? Mm-hmm. Two girls were saved from sex trafficking in Danbury. 12, 13 guys arrested. In fact, one week in Danbury, there were like five different arrests on five different days that got like 84, 85 people. They were all involved in drug trafficking or sex trade or something on the other, or human trade. And that's what was going on. We also know about stories, David, that about two individuals who were forcing other illegals to pay the rent in the house, sleep on the floor, and continuously pay them out of their own paycheck because they were paying back the ransom, if you will, to getting into the country, which always turns out to be somewhere between $30,000 to $40,000 that they have to pay, that they have to labor for to work here in the States.
They're indentured servants.
Exactly. Exactly. It's modern day slavery. And they all know it. They feign ignorance, but they know it's happening.
But we have our politicians fighting for all this. It doesn't make sense.
I know, and I'm still trying to figure it out as well. And what makes this so heinous is to listen to this guy, John Lugo, to have him say to me, like I said, I wasn't expecting it. That's why I wasn't recording in the beginning. But then when he says that the officials are leaking it to them, this is aiding and abetting illegal activity.
Well, what do you think the Trust Act is?
Yes, exactly, which is, again, look, I'm trying to figure out at what part, in what part of the Trust Act says that this is allowed. That they are alerting these people and telling them or helping them run and hide.
I'm against just the plain concept of the Trust Act.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that in itself, they should be allied with ICE, not fighting them, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and you know what it'll be? It'll be something horrific that happens that they'll be forced to admit, oh, goodness, maybe we should have cooperated. Because it's not going to – people think Connecticut is not a soft target. It is. And when people know that there are politicians on television every day talking about how they're going to protect illegals – against the citizen of Connecticut, every nutmegger, someone is going to say, what a prime target.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it angers the hell out of me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people keep forgetting. Some people keep forgetting. It was soft on crime or soft, you know, background checks in Boston and a lot of other places. That, and that softness, that sort of willingness to let anybody come in, is how we got into a lot of terrorist situations right here in this country, outside of just 9/11. And so it's that sort of that feckless attitude. So that's where we are. David, thank you, man. I appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye.
You got it. All right. When we come back, I got to tell you this. Well, we'll do headlines at the top of the hour. But after headlines, a monologue I did about a month ago, you might remember, for those of you who listen often, you might remember when I asked, when is somebody going to say thank you? They take your tax money, you house them, you feed them, you clothe them. And as what we heard right now, your politicians protect them. And they tell you you must. If you do not, you're a bigot. You're a racist. But never once has anybody stopped and said to you, thank you for all you give up, for all you do for the rest of us. If you were angry about that, which, by the way, after I did the monologue, and it was mine, even I got angry after the fact, you will definitely be angry after I play the audio sound bites in the 3:30 break. Stand by for this, because, you know, I'm surprised that we